ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामो भगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्को धुनोदितः। ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 19। Kindly repeat. Tadaham matayormadhya varunya shrimadhandayo tamo madam harishyami strayayo rajitatmano tat. Therefore, aham, I, Mattayoho, of these two drunken persons, madhya, by drinking liquor, varunya, named Varuni, shrimada antayoho, who are blinded by celestial opulence, tamahamadam, this false prestige due to the mode of ignorance, harishyami, I shall take away, strayanayoho, because they have become so attached to women, ajita atmanoho, being unable to control the senses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Therefore, since these two persons, drunk with the liquor named Varuni, or Madhvi, and unable to control their senses, have been blinded by the pride of celestial opulence, and have become attached to women, I shall relieve them of their false prestige. Therefore, since these two persons, drunk with a liquor named Varuni, or Madhvi, and unable to control their senses, have been blinded by the pride of celestial opulence, and have become attached to women, I shall relieve them of their false prestige. Purport. When a sadhu chastises or punishes someone, he does not do so for revenge. Maharaj Parikshit had inquired why Narad Muni was subject to such a spirit of revenge, tamaha. But this was not tamaha, For Narad Muni, in full knowledge of what was good for these two brothers, wisely thought of how to cure them. Vaishnavas are good physicians. They know how to protect a person from material disease. Dis-ease. They are never in tamoguna. Thus they are never in tamoguna. Sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. That's Bhagavad Gita chapter 14, text 26. Vaishnavas are always situated on the transcendental platform, the Brahman platform. They cannot be subject to mistakes or the influence of the modes of nature, material nature. Whatever they do, after full consideration, is meant just to lead everyone back home, back to Godhead. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnanan Jinashalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Haripriye Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripasindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Madhgavirapi Gopala Svikuryat Kripayayadi Tadaivasam Payah Pitwa Prishyus Tat Priyajanaha. In this verse, we find several significant points are made. Where to begin? In the Vanaparva of Mahabharata, we find the narration of Nalakuvara, and Nalakuvara was, you can say, a follower of Shiva, because Kuvara was a follower of Shiva, so that was his family line. And at one point, this is their lifestyle. We're going to describe how it is that they got themselves into this predicament. So once he had an appointment with Rambha. Who is Rambha? Rambha Devi. She's one of the society girls of the heavenly planets. So he had an appointment just near Kailash. And this was at the time that Ravana had conquered everything. So one night Ravana was unable to sleep, and being unable to sleep, he was very attentive to every sound that he heard in the calm, peaceful, quiet hours of the midnight. So he heard the tinkling of a woman's ankle bracelets, and being of a passionate disposition himself, he decided to go and check it out. So he went there and he found that this beautiful woman was quickly walking through the deep jungle alone. She was very, looking like a, well, she was a demigod, demigoddess. And so he was immediately attracted. This was Rambha. Rambha was actually on her way to meet with Nalakuvara. They had pre-arranged a spot. This is how people engage themselves in higher planetary systems. So Ravana, he saw this Rampa, and she was astonished. She accosted in the middle of the night by this 10-headed monster in the deep jungle. You can imagine. So she was flustered. She didn't know what to do. Ravana didn't waste any time. He grabbed her by the hand, and despite her protests, Ravana had his way with her in that jungle. When she woke up the next morning, it's described, she felt like a forest of lotus flowers that had been trampled by a maddened elephant in a muddy lake. So she went straight to Nalakuvara and she narrated what had happened. Nalakuvara was so furious, and Nalakuvara had such power that on the spot he cursed Ravana. He said, if this person ever tries to enjoy a woman against her will, his heads will all split into many pieces. How many heads did Ravana have? 10 heads. That means he had 20 eyes. Shakespeare says also, please tell me, where is fancy bred? Or in the heart or in the head? Where begot? Where nourished? Reply, reply. It is engendered in the eyes, dies in the cradle where it lies. Let us all ring fancy's bell. I'll begin it, ding dong bell. Only Shakespeare can say such things. Shakespeare is considered to be the Kalidas of the Western Hemisphere, for those who don't know. Anyway, so Ravana was enchanted by Urvashi, and therefore he was cursed. It wasn't the first or the last time that Ravana would be cursed on account of his bad habits. But the point that I'm making is, what was the power of Nalakuvara that he could curse someone who had conquered all the 14 worlds at that point? So this kind of power, this kind of, what does Prabhupada say here? Celestial opulence. This gives rise to a great deal of pride. And actually Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on this section of the Bhagavatam, he describes this pride. Narad desired to curse Manigriva Nalakuvara so that they could meet the Lord directly and thereby get special mercy from the Lord. He also says in text 40 of this chapter that the pride that is produced as a result of wealth is more inebriating than the pride that is produced by the other opulences. What are the other opulences? There are four main opulences. We learn of these from Kunti Devi. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribhir Edamana Madapuman. So that's text 26 of chapter 8. Of the first canto, she says. Very nice purport also. My Lord, your lordship can be easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who was on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, that's good birth, great opulence, that's wealth, high education, shruta, and bodily beauty, shri, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Anyone beautiful here? You don't have to answer. Anyone here very wealthy? Or have great learning? Or have good family? These things are very dangerous. And of all these four things, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says here, in text 40, the pride that ensues from wealth is more inebriated, as though they have this. And Sanatan Goswami, in his commentary here. He says, nano madhya matata kshanad apayasyati tatraha srimad antayoho iti. The idea is that someone may ask, well, intoxication, that's okay, but we all know that if a person is intoxicated, after some time the intoxication wears off. So, you know, maybe they'll get over it. But he says, tatraha srimad, srimad. This is the intoxication of wealth. That doesn't go away. It doesn't wear off. This is the problem. So, this is why he speaks this verse. And what is the result? Ataiva strainayor. They became attached to women. Because false pride is not complete without sex desire. False pride is not never complete unless there is sex desire. So this was their condition, and Sanatana Goswami has defined that strainayoho Sri Lampatayor. Debauchery with women. Both of them were accustomed to this. As we know, we've seen. What are they doing with these girls? Not proper. This is called Advaitic Stri Sangha. You can associate with the opposite sex, but you have to follow rules in order to do that. This should not be neglected. In modern society, it's not only neglected, it's hidden, or denied, or attacked. But actually, these rules are there for our own benefit. Shri Shri Gaurnitai ki jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balarama ki jai, Shri Shri Lalita Vishakha Sahita Radha Shyama Sundara ki jai. So debauchery means associating with the opposite sex beyond the rules that accommodate that in Vedic literatures. And of course nowadays people have become so degraded that it doesn't even have to be the opposite sex. That's also going on. And people are demanding that this is a human right. They're so, this is called tamo madam, or as Vijayadwaj Viraghavacharya and Sridhar Swami, they both gloss this word, tamo madam, as ajnana krita madam, the intoxication that is born of ignorance. We are so ignorant in the modern world. We are so overwhelmed by ignorance that we don't even realize that we're ignorant. This is such a problem. All right, so Sri Lampatayor. Now someone may say, Sanatana Goswami suggests, Nanu Upabhogena Strainata Shamyet. You understand? Now one can say, well, okay, well, I'm a young man, I'm a householder, newlywed. You can say, maybe I can just indulge a little bit and then it will go away after some time. Does it work like that? Nay. What does Krishna say about this in Bhagavad Gita? Dushpurena analena cha. Like a fire. You cannot put out a fire by pouring ghee on it or pouring kerosene on it. When they want to kill someone for the dowry, they make sure that it's a kerosene stove. Because they know this. All right, so netiyaha. Why? Why is it not pacified, sex desire? Ajitatmanaha. Because the mind is infected. It's not just the senses. What are the three sitting places? Mind, intelligence, and senses. Yes. So here the acharya is commenting on this particular word, ajitatmana, Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they both say it means asanyamita manasaha, a mind that is not under control. Viraghavacharya says the same thing in different words. He says abashikrita manasaha, and it's the same thing. You've not controlled your mind. So the mind, first of all, has to be fixed on what? Where do we place our minds? At the lotus feet of Nandanandana, according to Govindadas Kaviraj Goswami. Okay, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur here, he says tat, the word tat here, there are different opinions about this. Viragavacharja says it means therefore. It seems that Srila Prabhupada favors his interpretation because that's how he translated it himself. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it means anayor garvarogasya kam chikitsam karomiti. What Narad is thinking in his mind, iti vicharya nishchinoti, and he's trying to devise in his mind, what kind of medicine can I give them? What kind of remedy can I do to help them with which disease? Garva rogasya, the disease of pride. So this is the idea. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes much of this point in his own purport. It's not just a matter of anger. We'll get to that in a moment. First, let's just hear what Srila Prabhupada has to say about Kunti Stava. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri Bhiredamana Madha Puman. Same word, Madha, intoxication. Naivarhatya Vidhatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gochuram. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences. And this is known as the advancement of materialist civilization. We heard about this very nicely yesterday from Sarvabhauma Prabhu. Shri, what does Shri mean? Huh? Beauty, what else? The goddess of fortune. Everybody wants Shri, but nobody wants Shripati. So, and this is called material advancement. If one is very capable and very attractive and very engaged in sex life in modern society, that person is considered to be a great hero, even though he's a weak rascal, in fact. Something to think about. Anyway, the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up. Artificially puffed up. You're adding problems to your portfolio that you're going to have to unravel later on, so don't bother with it. There's no need, except that we're highly conditioned and envious. So, artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Temporary. Even if you get what you pray for, even if you pray for the Lord's wife, and the Lord gives you the perverted reflection, still, it's not forever, my friend. Why is that? It's planned obsolescence. It's supposed to fail. Somebody sent me the other day, the famous Hollywood actor, so he was being interviewed on television, and he was describing that at one point in his life, everything was going wrong. He must have been in Saturn. You know, he had a divorce, and his kids hated him, and he lost his job, and nothing was going right. So he just, one day, he just, in sheer frustration and agony, he was sitting on the floor in his house, and he just said, I can't take this anymore. And he said at that point, he heard a voice, audibly, palpably, he heard a voice say, it's supposed to be difficult. What do you make of that? What did he make of it? He was absolutely astonished. It changed his life. He understood immediately, there's somebody in charge of this, and that person cares about me. Otherwise, why would he say this? We all have to come to this point at some point. So, we're puffed up artificially by temporary things that we will lose. You will lose them. If you're suffering like hell, don't worry. It will be over. And if you're enjoying like anything, be assured, it will be over. Everything has this nature in this world. So, consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly. Oh Govinda, oh Krishna. When we're smashed and desperate and time is running out and we know it, then we become a little bit serious about calling out to Bhagavan. Just like Gajendra, the famous song is there, Chara Prahara Yuddha Bhayo. He was hours and hours and days he was going on fighting with his crocodile, and finally he just gave up because he knew that I'm going to lose this thing. There's nothing I can do. Everyone should recognize it. There is nothing you can do to better yourself or to even to get out of your conditioning of artificial puffed up status. There's nothing you can do. Therefore, the intelligent person takes shelter of Krishna and calls his name feelingly. How does he call his name? So many ways. Govinda, Krishna, ityadi. Nam nama gari bhutani ca sarva shakti tatrarpitani matah smaranena kala. Ityadi. Okay. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. It's one of the offenses to consider that this is, you know, hyperbole. That's called, yeah, Arthavad. It's described in the Padma Purana. But there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. Do you feel anything? We become jaded in this world, isn't it? We become emotionally jaded. We can't open up to someone for that reason. Or we just don't even care. That's even worse. The very worst thing is you don't even feel anything, dead. People can become like this. You can get yourself into that psychological space. Just consider Muchikunda. Despite all the tremendous assets that he had, if you look into his character and history, Muchikunda, king, what an exalted personality he was, and yet he got himself into such a space that all he wanted to do was go to sleep. He only had the presence of mind to ask for that benediction when he was given that boon from the demigods. Anyway, a helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. Jayadvaita Maharaj once said, preaching means to comfort the distressed and to distress the comfortable. Only Jayadvaita Swami can speak like that. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, high parentage, good wealth, high education, and attractive beauty are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign as much as the falling of the temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication. Intoxication. Toxic. What does it mean to be toxic? You're poisoned. It may be a pleasurable sensation, intoxication, but you're poisoned. Do you know that if you drink alcohol, it burns out your brain cells permanently? You have a limited number of brain cells. They do not replicate. Whatever you're born with, that's all you have for this life. They don't regrow, they don't regenerate. If you kill them, it's for good. So what intelligent person aware of this would drink a poison that kills billions and billions of brain cells at a time? Therefore we call it intoxication. Toxification, you might call it also. All right. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. This is how Srila Prabhupada explains Kunti Devi's statement. Why is it relevant? Because we're dealing with the same character here. This illustration is there. And in fact, I'm sorry to say that we all have the same problem. All of us. We have the same problem. What are we going to do about it now? You have a short window of opportunity called human life. Look at the monkeys. They can't go beyond fighting and mating and eating. Hardly you see them sleeping. They're very hyperactive little guys. But the point is, dharmasya hina pashupissamana. We have these four characteristics in common with the animals, but we have the opportunity here and now to become Krishna conscious. So, if a person is relieved of his material opulence, like these sons of Kuvera, then that's a good thing. Now, this gets to the second point. Srila Prabhupada mentions, first of all, tamaha. What does tamaha mean? In text 1, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, it means anger. Because we know anger, wrath, is in the mode of ignorance. Speaking of monkeys, once I went on the roof to hang my laundry, and because I know the environment, we have a cage. Otherwise your laundry will not last. So I'm inside the cage, and monkeys are fighting like anything outside. Big monkey war going on. It happens in MVT quite regularly. Those who live there, you know. So these monkeys were all, once they fight with each other, they just get mad. Total ignorance, tamaha. And anything in their path, they will take out their anger. So this monkey is jumping, he comes running over to where I am, he jumps against the cage, and he's holding on the side of the cage, baring his teeth, and making as loud a noise as he possibly can. This is wrath. This is anger. Anger means animal. A human being has to control these things. So, tamaha, in the case of the self-realized person, like Narad Muni, who is completely self-controlled, it's not actually there. Or as Prabhupada says in his purport to this verse, it's not that he's acting out of revenge or that, you know, out of spite or something like that. He's actually thinking of their welfare. As Sanatana Goswami, I think it was said like this. He's considering. Chikitsam koromiti vicharya. What can I do to actually help these persons? Now, where was it? I think it was back maybe in another one of these, in the same passage, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that Narad Muni loudly pronounced his curse because he wanted to benefit others as well. He's not just thinking about even these two. He's thinking about the deliverance of all living beings. Okay, so that's that. We should be clear about that. This tamaha is not anger. And in text 7, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives another analogy. When a loving mother wants to feed her baby milk, anyone who is a mother or anyone who has been a mother, you know. What do? The baby is asleep. You can pinch the baby a little bit. And the baby wakes up and then you have milk and the baby appreciates. It's love. You're pinching, it hurts, but it's only meant to wake up the baby. So he says this is the mood that in which Narad Muni has delivered this curse to the sons of Kuvera. Nala Kuvara Mani Griva. Nala Kuvara is the older one. He's the main brother. The other brother is junior. Okay. So we should be very careful, because the way that devotees act sometimes is bewildering. Narad Muni in this case, the way Narad is acting, it may bewilder someone who doesn't have knowledge. We have to hear every day so that our intelligence is sharp and we can understand. When we see something, we can process it appropriately instead of just processing it according to our emotions. What kind of emotions? Such as anger or envy. or whatever. So, Vaishnavar Kriya Mudra Vignena Bhojai, it's stated. We can never really figure out the activities of the self-realized Vaishnava, so we have to be very careful and not commit offense. Actually, these brothers had committed offense to Narad Muni. There's no doubt about it. But Narad Muni was so high-minded, rather than punishing them or being revengeful, as Prabhupada says here, he was only thinking about how to deliver them. What kind of curse did they get? They got to stay in the very house where the Supreme Lord was performing his pastimes. They saw everything, all of the Balalilas they witnessed. Great, great good fortune. So this is Narad Muni's mercy. We should not misunderstand it. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Just maybe we have a few minutes. I'll say a few words about Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami Pada, great disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the famous six Goswamis. He was born in 1500 AD, and he lived for 85 years in this world. He disappeared on this day. So today is his Tirubhava Mahotsava here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. He appeared in a family of Sri Vaishnava Brahmins in a village just near Srirangam on the bank of the Kaveri, Tamil Nadu. Nowadays, Kaveri is hardly there anymore. This is the nature of Kali Yuga. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Srirangam Dham in 1510 or 1511, Lagbhag, he was invited by one Venkata Bhatta. There were three brothers, Tirumala Bhatta, Venkata Bhatta, Prabuddha Bhatta. Three brothers, all Sri Vaishnavas, all living there in Srirangam Dham. And Venkata Bhatta invited the Lord to come for lunch, and he had such an overwhelming experience just by serving Mahaprabhu, Prasadam, and discussing Krishna Katha, that he said, "Sir, please stay here for the entire Chaturmasya." Now we've just begun the Chaturmasya Vrata, so it's appropriate to mention this. So at that time, his son was maybe 9, 10, 11 years old, Gopal. And Gopal was naturally also engaged in hearing whatever discussions his father had with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita this long discussions between Venkata Bhatta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In very quickly to summarize, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that Lakshmi Devi herself is trying to become a gopi. So what then do we speak of Srimati Radharani? Krishna is most attracted to Srimati Radharani. And even Lakshmi Devi is attracted to Krishna in his form as Gopal. She's trying to join the Ras Lila. She has a temple managed by the Gaudiya Sampradaya just across the river in Vilbhavan, where she's still there. She executed austerities, but she could not get into the Ras Lila. Just to relieve us of some of our pride, perhaps. We're thinking, oh, now I'm living in Vrindavan. Maybe now I'm practicing Raganuga Bhakti even. Maybe I can become a gopi. My friend, Lakshmi Devi herself cannot become a gopi. Just think about that for a while. Anyway, so they were discussing like this, and Gopal Bhatta, little Gopal, was only about 10 years old. He was listening. And he was serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 4 months. And at the close of the Chaturmasya period, when it was time for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go, the entire family was in tears and just beside themselves with grief. And Gopal, who had become particularly attached, because boys at that age, they become very attached if there's a superior elder brother or elder friend or father figure for them to latch onto. They really do that. He had become so attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, he became senseless. He fell to the ground unconscious. That was his attachment. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him the order, "You come to Vrindavan, but first serve your parents for the rest of this life. Do not marry, and study the Shastras, become very expert." So his uncle, Prabuddha Bhatta, he trained Gopal Bhatta up in all the shastras, and he became very expert, and he had a strong inclination to bhakti, irrepressible inclination for bhakti, in fact. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu undoubtedly saw that. That's why he gave him that instruction. So he came to Vrindavan. As soon as he got to Vrindavan, Rup Sanatan, he took shelter of Rup Sanatan. This was such an important event that Rup Goswami sent a letter to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, it's not just like it is today. You can just fire off an email or even send a FedEx package overnight. To send a letter to Bengal from Vrindavan in those days, you had to hire somebody, you had to see to his accommodations. All along the way, it was a very expensive ordeal. The person had to take weeks to get there, and so many dangers he had to undergo. It was a big deal. And yet this was important enough that they did that, to inform Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard of this, he was very happy. And what did he do? He sent some items for Gopal Bhatta. What did he send him? Anybody know? He sent him like a... No, that's Raghunath Goswami. He said, I think it was a Yajnopavita maybe he sent him. Some two, three items, including one asan, which is still there in the temple. The asan was meant to imply that you should become an acharya now. You should initiate disciples. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he did that. And he went to Shaligram, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had ordered him, you should worship Shaligram Shila. So he went to Gandaki, Nepal, and he picked out some Shaligram. Rather, the Shaligram picked him out. He put his hands into the water to offer water to the sun, and instead, every time he picked up his hand, there was a Shaligram in it. So in this way, he got 11, 12 Shaligrams, so he brought them back. And on the way also, he had gone to a place called Devavandhya. What is that place called now? Devavandhya, anybody know? Deoband. Now it's more famous for madrasas. big, huge place for training Muslim clerics. But in those days, it was a big center for Brahminical learning. So he was staying in the house of one Sharma there. And this man was so impressed by Gopal Bhatta's devotion and his character that he offered the most valuable thing that one can offer. What is that? His son. He said, sir, I want my son to... You take my son and train him up to be just like you. Make a facsimile of yourselves, so that the next generation can be benefited also. So, when Gopal Bhatta Goswami came back to Vrindavan, he was worshipping his Shaligram Shila very nicely. And one day, after some years, he came back to his house. He saw that there was a boy sitting on his porch. And he inquired that this boy was the son of that Sharma. He finally came from Deoband. So the man, he was good to his word, Brahmin. So this boy became his disciple. And what was his name? It was either Gopinath or Damodar. There were two brothers. Actually, both of them became disciples of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And they eventually came. Damodar married. Gopinath wanted to stay single. He was intelligent. And Damodar married. And from that, he was advised that you should have some family line that will ensure that the deity doesn't fall into the wrong hands. That is the plus side of the Shukra Sampradaya. So that system is there. Anyway, so the Goswamis of the temple now, they're descendants of that Damodar Pujari. Gopinath Pujari was also there. But his main disciple is whom? Gopal Bhatta Goswami's main disciple is Srinivasacharya. Very, very capable person who went along with Narottam and Shyamananda to West Bengal and preached Krishna consciousness all through East India. This was Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He's trained him up, turned him into a very first class preacher. So, at one point he was worshipping his Shaligram, and some wealthy man came here to Vrindavan. He was donating to all the temples. And all the Goswamis are getting silk cloth and jewelry and so many things they're offering the Thakurji. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was hoping that this Thakurji, I can also do some seva. He knew, actually. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him previously, if you worship Shalagram, that Shalagram will appear to you as Radhanaman. But he didn't know how or when it would happen. So one day he was really praying to the Lord like this, and he went to bed in kind of a dejected mood, thinking, when will the Lord ever appear to me? Next morning he woke up and he opened up the pitri, and he saw that inside is Radharaman. Radharaman ki jai. And so he was so beside himself with joy. He was worshipping. He had this deity to worship, and the deity is, practically speaking, the most famous deity to date in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, here in Vrindavan at least. So very happy. That happened in some 1541 or so. And then in this way he lived his life. But we don't find very much information about Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Why is that? He didn't want his name to be mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And even the others who wrote also hagiographies, they also didn't mention, because he didn't even want to initiate disciples, actually, until he was ordered to do so. Anyone who wants to have disciples, you should understand that person is bogus from the very outset. Vaishnava, out of humility, he doesn't think like that. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping Radharaman in this way. And he didn't want to have very much attention, but he did write some important books. He wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas, he wrote Satkriyasar Deepika, these are, you can say, Vaishnava Smritis. And according to some, he wrote a commentary on Krishna Karanamritam as well, called Krishna Vallabha. That's a little bit disputed, because there may have been another Gopal Bhatta. And there's different acharyas say different things about it. 4 or 5 books he wrote like this. And on this day in 1585 or 1586, he left this world. But his Samadhi Mandir is still there, near the Prakatyashali of Radharaman Thakur. We can go there, pay our obeisances, beg for his mercy, and maybe we can gain the same benediction that he was given. So the time is up now. One last thing. In Gaurgaurnadesh Deepika, Kavi Karnapur mentions ki anangamanjari yasit sadhya gopala bhaktakaha bhakta goswaminam kechit ahu shri gunamanjari. Some people say that his ontological form, his siddhadeha, was anangamanjari in the spiritual world. Other people say he was Gunamanjari. Both names are given by Gaurgaurnadesh Deepika, so that information we're just relating. Okay, I'm going to stop now, but if anybody has any questions or any comments, we can maybe a few minutes discuss further. Okay, so thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.